Thank you for joining us for another power-packed message from Dr. Miles Monroe, provided by Monroe Global Incorporated and MonroeGlobal.com. We transform followers into leaders and leaders into agents of change. We hope that this message is a blessing to you as you advance your life and discover your purpose. Now, let's go into the message.
The danger of unregulated change. The danger of what? Unregulated change. Make a note of that. We want to focus on understanding the limitations of change. Understanding the limitations of change. Change is dangerous if it's not regulated. What do we mean by this? I want to begin with a few statements that you may want to note. The first one is that the most predictable reality on earth is change. Everyone can predict change. You don't need a prophet to tell you something's going to change. It is the most predictable reality on earth. Secondly, change is inherent in life. In other words, if something was created by God, it is always changing. Everything in creation will change. Point number three, God created everything to experience natural change. Everybody say natural change. Please write that down carefully, because there's some change we are trying to make that are unnatural. God's intent was for change to be natural. Plants grow naturally. They mature naturally. They bear fruit or flower naturally. Then they die naturally. Animals are conceived naturally. They grow naturally. They mature naturally. And they die naturally. You were conceived naturally. You grew naturally. You are maturing naturally. And you will die naturally unless someone kills you. In other words, everything around us was designed by God to change naturally. That leads to point number four. Mankind is the only creature who has the power to determine and design the change he wants. That makes man dangerous. A dog cannot decide to become a cow. A pig cannot decide to become a horse. An apple tree cannot decide one day, I want to be a banana plant. We are the only creatures who can decide, I am a male, and I'm going to try to be a female. That's the power we have. It's a dangerous power. That leads to point number five. The power we have to decide change is called the will. Now, the will is an amazing power. We are the only living creatures in existence on earth that we know of that operates with a will. Every animal on this planet operates on instinct. In other words, animals don't decide things. There's an instinctive nature that make them do things. But you are dangerous. The greatest gift God ever gave man is the gift of will. And yet, the most dangerous gift God ever gave man is the gift of will. Because God knew that that gift would also give the man the power to turn against him. Imagine creating a creature who could literally abandon you. That's the power God gave us. And so, that leads to point number six. God placed the future of the world in the hands of man when he gave man a will. When I use the word mankind, I'm talking about all of us. 7.2 billion of us are dangerous because God gave us the same power he has. It's called a sovereign will. This is why the will must be regulated. You cannot just let a will run wild. This is why God created laws. Laws are not to smother a will. They are not created to suffocate your will. They are created to regulate it, because unregulated will destroy you, not just other people. Let me therefore tell you about some things that we have a will to change. First, we have the will to change politics. And these are the changes that we are dealing with right now. And I am concerned that not everybody who is tampering with these things know the will of God. Let's talk about these changes very quickly. The first one is what? Political confusion. That's the change going on in the world. Number two is what? Constitutional revisions. All over the world, they're revising the Constitution. In the United States, the Supreme Court is about to hear the argument about same-sex marriage for the first time in the history of America. These are dangerous revisions people are considering. And now they're tampering with our will of our Constitution as well. And whoever are the custodians of your will, which is your constitution of your country, you better make sure they have the will of God before they touch your will. Then there is social transition. People are changing socially. Then there's the change we call ideological reinvention. Big word. We are reinventing our ideas. There's no new idea under the sun. We just keep recapitulating. Sometimes we think we are intelligent. No, we just were ignorant of what someone else already knew that we discovered. We also go through, at the moment, philosophical instability. People's philosophies keep changing. There was a member, for example, of the United States Congress, I think it was, whose son told him this week that he was a gay son. Now, this guy was against that all the time until all of a sudden, because his son is gay, he changed his philosophy. How do you trust people who have an unstable philosophy? You don't know what they're going to believe tomorrow. So if you don't stand for something, you will fall for everything. Look at the next one. Moral manipulation. That's a change we're going through. People are manipulating our morals. They are trying to desensitize you from your convictions. I notice in the Guardian newspaper, and I respect that paper, but I notice in the last 4 weeks, every single day there's an article on the gay. In other words, they're trying to keep that word in the papers, so just work on your mind so you get used to it. Now, I speak to the editors and all those on the Guardian, you know, I pay for ads in that paper too. But I hope when I start writing, you put me in also. Because if there is an agenda in elements in the staff of that paper, then there is a philosophical bias that we need to check, because the media is supposed to be about telling the community the truth, not just one side of it. So we're going through these moral manipulations. Look at number seven. Values vacillation. I like that. Write that down. Our values keep vacillating. We ain't sure what our values anymore are. And that's the change we're dealing with. And I'm telling all of you who work in banks and in insurance companies and on the police force and in the hospital and in schools, I'm telling you, there are people coming into your environments whose values are not the ones you grew up with. And they will tamper with your values and make you feel guilty for believing what you believe. Vacillating values. Look at number 8. Religious conflict. By the way, I told you all at the beginning of this year that this year shall be filled with drastic changes. Do you remember that? Some of y'all are seeing them. People are dying. Remember I told you people die suddenly? Even in our own country, people are dying. Who do you expect to die? And now we got a third world pope for the first time in history. A Latin American pope. Everybody's in shock, including the Romans. Why? Everybody say change. It's the year of change. You ain't seen nothing yet. There are people in our own government who will die because they are going to have to be removed for God to get his will done. I'm not cursing anyone to death now. I'm just telling you, as a man of God, when God wants to get something done, don't get in his way. You are like a flower, the Bible says. Here today and gone today. It's important to stay very humble. Leadership is a privilege, not a right. You better thank God that you have the privilege of standing before people and they listen to your ideas. That's a dangerous privilege. Look at number 9. Scientific change. It's taking place so fast. Most of you sit here today with your iPad. You come to church and people think you don't have a Bible anymore. Because they think you ain't saved because you came to church without a Bible. What they don't know is your Bible is on your iPad. Some of you got it on your phone. People say, are you calling someone? No, I'm taking notes. Science, technology has changed everything. Look at number 10. The advancement is so fast that we can't keep up with it. The last two are the most powerful changes taking place right now. I call it economic interdependence. We call it globalization. That has transformed our world, which means that whatever happens in one country will affect every other country. So there's no such thing as sovereignty anymore. No matter what they tell you, sovereignty is over. Do you know why they call it the World Bank? Listen to the words, World Bank. And that's who we borrow money from. It's not the American bank or the Canadian bank or the Venezuelan bank. It's the World Bank. There is a bank where all the nations are clients. In other words, your country is a customer to a bank, which means they can also call the note. And if you can't pay, they'll tell you what to do with your economy. So they can secure their loan. It's a dangerous world. And number 12 is the biggest one, redefinition of terms. That's what we're going through right now. They are trying to redefine everything. They're redefining what a woman is. They're redefining what a man is. They're redefining what a teenager is. How old do you need to be to drink alcohol? They're redefining that. I mean, everything they're touching. And this is why we have to not sit back and let it happen. We have to be engaged. We got to transform society. Otherwise, it will transform us. Comprende? This is why it's important for the church. I'm talking about the intelligent church. To be aware of the conditions. The most powerful tribe in Israel was a tribe called Issachar. And God said something about them. He said, they were powerful because they understood the times. Therefore, they knew what to do You cannot fall asleep now, because if you sleep and you wake up, your son gonna be married to a man. And you gotta wear your dress to the wedding. So you better wake up fast. It's a very important time. Let me give you my description of the age. Write this down. We are living in an age. Now, the planet Earth has gone through a lot of ages. I'm going to give you a few of them. Those of you who are history students will remember these. First, we recorded what we call the Renaissance Age. The Renaissance Age is the age when they began to change from religion to science. Then we went into another age called the Age of Reason. The Age of Reason is the time when men began to want to see proof before they believed anything. That's a natural result of science. In other words, faith became questioned. We went to another age called the Modern Age. That's the one that most of you were born in. And we call the Modern Age when we got a radio and a TV. We're modern now. But then we thought we had arrived until the next age arrived. It's called the postmodern age. In other words, your radio ain't no good no more. You need an iPod. We're living in a postmodern age. We're beyond modern now, and we went to another age recently. It's called the age of secularism, where we don't want God in anything. And then we got worse. We went into another age recently called the age of scientific thinking, where if you can't see it, you don't believe it. And now we arrive in this new age we're living in called the Age of Enlightenment, where everybody thinks they're smarter than God. It's amazing how men can sit and try to interpret life, and they themselves don't know who their parents are, don't understand themselves. Most of their theories don't work anymore, and they're trying to give you advice. I'm always intrigued by people who are psychologists, specialties in marital counseling, and they've been divorced 4 times. How can you advise me if it didn't work for you? Because we think we are enlightened. And so we went to this final age we are at now, and this is the age of humanistic society, where the human has become the end of all things. Matter of fact, my definition of democracy is glorified humanism. Democracy is man making himself God. So man votes for what is right or wrong, acceptable or unacceptable, true or false. He decides what it is, the man does, by marking an X. That's a lot of power. Where does it end? Where do you get the boundaries to regulate that kind of power? This is why I say with all my heart, democracy cannot survive without God. Because God checks it. That element you call God, divine, that powerful boundary set is what protects democracy from self-destruction. Someone has to decide what right is. We are not smart enough to do it.
That's right.
Look at our history. We've killed each other for thousands of years. And we're threatening nuclear war again this week. North Korea. And the guy ain't jiving. One morning you can wake up and we got a war on our hands because men are not smart enough to live together. And yet, he thinks he doesn't need God. There's a singer who influenced me. His name is Andre Crouch. When I was a teenager, Andre Crouch had a song that he sang. And he sang this song, and when I first heard it, I didn't understand it. I was a teenager. The song went like this. If heaven was never promised to me, even God's promise to live eternally, it still would have been worth having the Lord in my life. Powerful words. In other words, if I wasn't even going to heaven, the laws that he laid down kept me sane. You cannot improve on the laws of God. This is not a debate about legislation. It's a debate, really, about the foundation for the legislation. Where do you get your reference from? You see, and that leads me to this number 9. They got this new word they call the new normal. Now, first of all, they got a normal bird. What's a new normal bird? The bird doesn't know. A pigeon is a pigeon, was a pigeon, and will be a pigeon. You can't be a new normal pigeon. We are the only creatures who got a new normal family. So then, let me just throw a thought out. If someone tells you that this is a new normal family, then there must have been a normal one. Do you understand? This is a new normal marriage. Then there must have been a normal one. And whatever isn't normal is not new normal, it's abnormal. You could change the word, but that's what it means. And now we finally come to an age we call the age of, this is Miles Monroe's introduction, experimentation. We are living in the age of what? Experimentation. We are all experimenting. Let's see what happens. That's the philosophy of the world today. Let's see what happens. Let's see how far we can push this. Let's see how far we can take this. Let's see how far we can go with this and see what happens. We are testing the boundaries. We are in the age of experimentation. And experimentation means that you are gambling with life. I was thinking, when I went to San Francisco, yes, I went to a part of San Francisco, and everybody in the town were homosexuals and lesbians. And I kept thinking, where are the children? And suddenly it hit me, they can't have any. This is the new normal city. That's an experiment. It's an experiment. I met a guy who was married to another guy. I said, he said, I'd like you to meet my husband. So I said, that means you must be wife. He said, no. I said, then who are you? He said, we ain't worked that out yet. They're experimenting. They are experimenting. You can't experiment. You're too old to experiment. Listen, I'm not attacking anybody. You all got to help me, brothers. If you please help me. Tell me what that means. I'm not against you. I know what I'm for, that's all. We live in a world where we have to address these things. You don't roll over and speak in tongues. You better get up and fix it. Clap, man. I feel by myself here. Y'all make me nervous. Maybe some of y'all got that thing. The age of what? Experimentation. Don't forget that. When they talk to you, tell them, you're just part of the experiment. You are experimenting with life. And life is too precious to experiment with. We need the laws of life. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world that's going up in flames. I think about it all the time. We are witnessing changes that are almost overwhelming. Collapse of governments. Never heard of before in history. The rise of people power. People are running governments out of their own houses. Then we get international and domestic terrorism. We have failed states. Economies have completely turned upside down. Massive unemployment and the fall and disgrace of leaders, both political, civic, and religious. This is a crazy world we live in. We live in a world where the change is in the moral compass. If you are 20 and you are a virgin, you are strange, they say. That means men and women. The moral compass has swung to the opposite side. We live in a world of transformation in traditional values. And when I use the word traditional values, I'd prefer to put there natural values. Values from nature. We're trying to adjust nature. Ladies and gentlemen, we live in a world where sovereignty has collapsed. The collapse of sovereignty means that whatever your government promises you, you have to take it with a pinch of salt. Because if they got to depend on another country to fulfill that promise, then the promise is only as good as the country they depended on. And the country might change its mind. Am I making sense to anyone? Sovereignty has collapsed. And this is a dangerous thing because the United Nations and the world bodies like the IMF and the World Banks and those European community institutions, they are telling you what to morally accept if you want economic help. You can't sovereignly say you are against certain moral things. They attack you and say you are not part of the global community. I see, if I was the prime minister of my country, I would see the Bahamas as my house. It's our house. Okay? And we invite you to come into our house as a tourist. Or even as an investor. Come into my house. This is my house. Now, every house, what they got called house rules. Anybody got a house? Yes, house rules. Even the parliament has house rules. In other words, every house got to have some rules, some regulations. You don't walk into my house where I live and start cussing. I put you out. You don't walk into my house, Miles Monroe house, and start smoking dope in my living room. Now, maybe your house, but not mine. I got some rules. You don't walk in here wearing clothing that I can see through. I got some rules in my house. Now, what's amazing is, if you invite me into your house, and then I start telling you what to cook, and what to change, what I don't like. That's what a country is like. How can you tell a country what they must accept? And that's where we're at right now. And that's why I'm so afraid. We need leaders whose convictions are more powerful than their compromise. And I mean this. We need leaders whose purposes are more powerful than the promises of other people. We need leaders whose values are more important than another man's vision. They need to be grounded. See, leaders stand for something, but they always stand on something. There's got to be a foundation that is unmovable. That's what regulates change. Let me show you something, the results of change. Here's what has happened to us since we've been in this quagmire. First, we get the distrust of leadership and authority. People don't trust leaders anymore. That's why the churches are declining. That's why people are stealing from their companies. Do you know why they're stealing from your company? Your employees? Let me tell you why. Because they believe that you ain't going to raise their pay, or you ain't interested in their insurance, or you ain't concerned about their children. So they start thiefing. In other words, they don't make their extra salary themselves. So they start carrying the chicken in the back of the hotel. Why? They don't trust the authorities anymore. The second impact of change is liberalism. People believe there's no boundaries. I can do what I feel like. People find it so bold and proud to say, I am a liberal. What does that mean? What they mean is, I am free. That's what it means. Now, the problem is, freedom without law is anarchy. So you are never free from law. So don't go around saying you are a liberal. What are you talking about? No, you are a liberal with laws. That's the proper statement. You can't walk down the street with no clothes on. We got some laws in the Bahamas. Hello? You can't just pee in the middle of Bay Street. Can I get raw on you? We got some laws. We call it what? Exposure. We can go to jail for that. Yeah, but I'm free to pee where I want to. Yes, but we got some laws. Come on, y'all shake me a little before I go. See, we got this idea, I'm free. No, you ain't that free. And that's what's wrong with our societies. We pushing this thing into liberalism to the point where we want to sleep what we want to sleep with, eat what we want to eat, smoke what we want to smoke. You know, we got all this stuff. I free. There's got to be some law. Let me tell you something. You can go home right now and eat all the macaroni you want. Do you know that? All the pasta with the greasy cheese. You can eat that and eat, I mean, the whole pan and eat it every day. No problem. Your body has some laws. And guess what? These are natural laws. The body says too much fat, too much cholesterol. I'm going to clog up this artery. I'm going to give you a heart attack. I'm going to kill you. And let me tell you something about the creation. Creation is the same way. Creation will spit us out if we violate God's laws. Amen. Amen. The land will puke us out if we think we are smarter than God. Keep in mind that we were all slaves from Africa. Don't think that we own this place. We were dumped here to work on farms. And now we're thinking it's ours. God will spit us out in a day. His laws protect us from liberalism. Another change we have in the world is lawlessness. Ain't nobody want to live by law. And that's the result of a lack of these changes taking place with regulation. We got permissiveness. We got kids who are 13 hanging out on Paradise Island 2 o'clock in the morning. 13 years old and cussing their mother when they come home. Something's wrong with this. We got a 14-year-old girl wearing some shoes that even elephants can't walk in. She wearing clothing even God winks at. And she is only 14. Something's wrong with this. This is permissiveness. We permit so many things in our society. You permit a man to have sex with a 14-year-old boy. Come on, man. You're smarter than that. But permissiveness, that's where we're at. The result of it is compromise. And that compromise leads to immorality. And the immorality breeds reengineering of our morals. We start to create new moral standards. And that leads to something worse, the culture of death. We don't mind if we kill people. Even death is becoming a fad. How many died today? What kind of question is that? We're so used to it now, we're shocked when no one was killed. It's a culture of death that we become so adjusted to because our morals have fallen so low that the value of human life has collapsed, and therefore we get cultural violence, and therefore we result in the devaluation of human life. This is the result of the change we're going through. We don't value human life. You got pregnant, but you don't want no more babies. What do you do with the fetus? You devalue human life. You can buy a pill from France and take it and dissolve the baby in the womb and nobody knows. It's called science without morality. This is the world we live in. And that leads to something worse. I call it generational disillusionment. That means the young people are so confused with your adult life that they don't know what they believe anymore. They don't even want your God. You know, I'm sick and tired of hearing people talk about, you know, what the church isn't doing and, you know, how the young people don't go to church and all this stuff. Let me tell you something. All of us are responsible. Not the church. You are responsible. Our whole community is corrupting this whole place. And our children don't know what we're doing and don't know what to believe. We got people in government who's confusing the children. They say one thing and the kids see something else. And the kids say, I don't know what to believe. So they become disillusioned. And a disillusioned person is a dangerous person because they will develop anger. And that anger will manifest in violence. And so we call it crime. Disillusioned people always end up in violence because they're angry. And therefore the result is confusion. People are having sexual confusion. They're not sure what their sex is anymore. This is the result of our moral decay, our lack of boundaries, nothing to regulate what is right or wrong. We shouldn't even be discussing some things because nature says don't touch it. But yet we're discussing it as if we're smarter than nature. One thing I'm so happy about nature, nature don't listen to a word you say. Man, clap. That's a good way to clap. Nature doesn't care what you say. You could sit in your government, in your countries. You can vote for my rectum to become an entrance. You can pass the vote. And nature says, don't care. Still a rectum, still an exit. Still a garbage disposal. Thank God for nature. God blessed us with laws in nature that, thank God, we cannot change them. Amen. I used to wonder why God put Adam to sleep when God was making Eve. I finally figured it out. God says, I can't let this man see how to make women. Come on, all the ladies clap fast. Praise the Lord. If God didn't leave that man awake and that man saw how to make a woman, you would wake up in the night, husband gone. Go to the next room, there he is. God was smart. I'm gonna put him to sleep. When he wake up, boom, there she is. He don't know how she got there. Thank God. Some of y'all get married that way. On your wedding day, you go there with your suit. Wake up in the morning, boom. Oh, my God. Where did she come from? God has protected us by natural law. And any law that violates natural law is not a law. Can I say it again? Any law that violates natural law. It's not a law. So when you sit in your home, in your office, in your boardrooms, in your policy committees, in your legislative rooms, in your cabinet ministry rooms, when you sit there and you discuss life, check your laws against nature, always. And ask the question, is this natural? If it violates nature, vote against it. I think those of us who live in the Bahamas know that nature always wins. I don't know what kind of hurricane plans God have for us this year. But I sure hope we don't attract any, because if we make some strange laws in this country, one solid hurricane. You all better pray. I want you to pass a law against a hurricane. Let's vote. There'll be no more tsunamis in the world. Let's vote. Are you crazy? Go with God. Stay on God's side. Can I hear an amen? Tell your neighbor, I'm going to stay with God. Say it again, I'm going to stay with God. You got to protect yourself. Let me show you something. I want you to write this down, please. The world cannot heal itself. The world I showed you just now cannot heal itself. And that's the problem. Why? Because we created that stuff. We created the problems. Every problem on earth was created by man, including the fall. Albert Einstein said something very interesting. He says, you cannot solve a problem at the same level it was created. Can I repeat it? He said he discovered something. You cannot solve a problem at the same level it was created. So if man is the problem, then man cannot solve the problem. That's why God had to bring the answer from outside the earth. For God so loved the world, he had to send someone into it. And we keep thinking we can heal ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot heal ourselves. Why? Because of number two. Doing nothing is not an option. We cannot sit around and wait for the world to heal itself. And that's why this year, you and I must get active. Active in life. Active in business, active in politics, active in value judgment, active in management of morality. We got to get active. If we don't get active, doing nothing is not an option. Somebody else will do it. And this is why it's important to remember, whatever you allow can never be criticized. What did I say? Whatever you allow, you can't criticize it. If you sit back and let something happen, you should never criticize it. People say, you know, Dr. Munro, why are you getting in this business talking about these certain things? I said, because that's my business. I got to live under that stuff. I got to make sure it's what I want to live under. You cannot attack what you allow. Listen to point number four. Whatever you avoid, you can never change. If you avoid getting involved in politics and business and government and law and getting involved in the judicial process, getting in lack of getting involved in education, you don't want to be no teacher, no classroom, then no wonder why the kids are a mess. Because another teacher teaching them. You and I cannot avoid something if we want to change it. You got to get involved. That leads to point number five. You must become the answer to your own prayers. Oh God, change the world. God said, okay, let's go. No, no, no. I said, change the world, Lord. God said, okay, let us go. We ask God always to use somebody else. Well, this is the year God says, I ain't taking nobody else. I'm taking you. It's your time to rise up and do something about what you are praying about. Point number six, whatever you permit, you are responsible for. They took prayer out of school in America. I wonder, how can the churches criticize that? Where were they when that little lady walked up there to the Supreme Court and said, take it out? Where were they? If democracy is democracy, then the majority must never be silent. I just said something important. Your behaviors, listen to me. See, the problem is if you don't get involved, you cannot criticize. So when I call for you to go to the House Assembly with me, I want you to come. I want you to leave your job and come. Why? Because if they're going to debate some stuff, and I heard some stuff, you know, I was concerned this week because they called my name, but they didn't mention my name, but he met me. I wish I was there, man. I can tell my colleague in the house next time, please let me know what's on the agenda so I can know what to do. I won't be there when the fellow talks to me. I won't look him in the face. Talk to me. He say he got cutlass. I got a machete. Y'all please forgive Pastor, but don't fool with me. I'm from Bantown. That's on TV. That's on TV. It's on now, brother. It's on. It's on. Cross that line. I ain't got no closet life, brother. Let's fight. Let me tell you something. You got to pick your fights.
Don't fight me. Fight the fellow who got closet problems. That's why some pastors can't talk, but nothing. Their closet is a mess. So let's fight. Come on, all everybody, come on, let's fight. We can't just sit back and permit things to happen, or we will be responsible. Write this down, please. You can let things happen, or you can make things happen. We need to decide which one it will be. In your country, wherever you're from, our friends from Haiti and from the Philippines and from Jamaica here, those from Barbados and St. Kitts and those who are sitting here from Guyana, things happening in your country, from Venezuela, we got people here from Colombia sitting in this church, and I look at your nations and I travel to them and I see policies being made that are destructive to the poor man. Change your attitude. We're going to make things happen. We can't just sit down and be nice and pay bills. We owe a debt to our children. Yes, sir. We have to make sure that we get what we believe God wants for our country. So let me close with this thought here. The only key we have to regulating and controlling change is how we plan. And that's why I started this whole year out on planning. Because the ability to plan is God's gift to us. And planning allows us to regulate and design the future ourselves. We are the only creature on earth that can plan. Every other animal reacts instinctively. We can actually respond. And we can actually choose what to respond to and how to respond. We got so much power. Planning, I say, is man's proactive response to an inevitable nature of life. I'm going to repeat this. Write this down. Planning is man's proactive response to the inevitable nature of life. It's inevitable that things will change, but planning gives you the power to act before it happens, to the point where you can actually regulate the change. You can decide whether you lose weight. Isn't that amazing? You can plan what you will not eat for lunch today. I know you're planning already, but you know, you can plan to change what you're thinking about. How about a salad instead of cheesecake? You know, it's, I shouldn't talk about that right now, but anyhow, you know, in other words, you can plan, say, I want to lose 10 pounds, okay? Now, it's inevitable that if you keep eating the way you're eating, you will gain 10 pounds. So you can actually change the inevitable future by planning what you will do. Our countries are the same way. Our societies are the same way. We can decide what kind of society we want. By what? Planning right now what kind of society we want and what we will not allow and permit. I was thinking that we got to decide what change is. We must choose the change we desire. 2014, 15, and 16 will be convulsive years. They're going to be convulsions all over the world. You think you see problems now. In the next 4 years, there's going to be so much chaos. You ain't going to know who to trust. You better have your anchor on the rock of Jesus Christ. It's got to be solid. In other words, fools will multiply when wise men are silent. If you keep quiet, the fool will talk loud. Yes. And by the way, there's always more wise than fool, you know. Except the fool talks the loudest. Nice people keep quiet. So I'm now recommending that you start making some noise. Clap, man. Clap. Clap. Good place to clap. You see, sometimes it's the 2% in society who taking up the front page of the papers. Because they're the ones who are writing the articles. I want all of you to start writing articles to the papers. on these issues we're talking about? Write, write, okay? Because everybody else trying to write. You write. I want you to smother all the papers with your letters and your comments.
Go ahead.
Because if you keep quiet, they will sound loud. It took one woman to introduce abortion in America and made it law. One woman. And 500,000 babies are killed every year because of one woman. Because 2 million said nothing. You sit in a meeting on your job tomorrow, and they're discussing some things, and you know it ain't right. Say something. Tell them I can't be a part of this. Why? It violates my conscience. Then leave the meeting. Okay, I'm gone. But I wanted to go on the record. I disagree with you all. And it might become public. Stand for something. The Bible says you. I'm getting ahead of myself. He said, the Bible says, blessed are those who are persecuted. Not for your foolishness, you know. But because you stood for something that was right. He said, you blessed. He says, and blessed are those who are falsely accused. They're going to accuse you, but make sure it ain't true. He said, because you belong to the kingdom of God. I invite everyone who disagrees with the word of God to attack me. I'm okay. So you can write about me in the papers. Then I ain't going to ever answer you, okay? I'm telling you now, I ain't going to answer you. But I'm going to keep preaching the word of God. Write this down. Evil men succeed when righteous men do nothing. And this is why darkness rules when light is absent. The Bible says you are the light of the world. That means if you are not engaged in the environment, then darkness is ruling. We got to regulate change. Problems reign when solutions are ignored. You are the solution to Earth's problem. God sent you here to solve problems. Don't avoid the problems. You cannot solve a problem that you avoid. You have to engage it, confront it, and most of all, attack it. Be proactive. Invite the devil to fight. Tell him, no further. Don't negotiate with Satan. Don't have no counseling session with demons. Do what's right all the time, even when you are alone. If you're the only one standing, stand alone. Because you are never remembered by what you fell for. History is written about people who stood alone. Young woman, stand by yourself. Tell him, I can't do that. Young man, want to have sex? Tell him, brother, I ain't married to you. Zip your pants up and go home. Who do you think you are? Woman of God? Kingdom citizen? Ambassador of my country? I got a standard to live by. My king expects me to live in a way that I'm respected by the world. You know, the world ain't got to like you, you know, but they got to respect you. Listen, I'm not looking for popularity contests. I don't need your approval to like myself. I like me so much, it's too late. We are here to tell the truth, and the truth would make the people free. That's all you're responsible for. Tell the truth. Tell the truth. So here's the challenge. You cannot stop or avoid change. So you have two options, eh? One, you can become a victim or an agent. And I put it to you, an agent of change initiates the change. The important issue then this year is if you don't be proactive, you will be reactive. He who reacts, it's already too late. Wise men plan. Fools regret. Proactivity means I am going to initiate the change and not become one who reacts to it because it's already done. Ladies and gentlemen, we will be either agents of change or victims of change. You know, I'm a very public figure, not by choice. I would love to be a private life, but that's just not what this life is about. And a few days ago, the Minister of Foreign Affairs sat in this chair, 48 hours ago. I walked up to him and hugged him. I said, "You're my friend, you know. Are you okay?" He said, "Didn't expect that from you." I said, "You ain't seen nothing yet. We still friends, though. We still friends. Friendship doesn't mean I agree with all of your stuff." I'm concerned about the truth. Not about whether you like me. You? You know how unimportant you are when it comes to God? Anybody feel that way? You make people more important than God. They leave you and you go on and mess up your own life. And they're gone about themselves on their yacht. I ain't living for nobody. I'm living for God. How about you? Anybody living for God? I can't hear your young people. Are you living for God? Stand for God. You stand for God. So important. Remember this as long as you live, and this is very critical. We are here to transform followers and the leaders. That's what this church is built on. So we are a dangerous place. But that's not the complete vision. The second half is what we're working on. We are also here to transform leaders into agents of change. We are not here to become victims of change. We are here to determine what happens in our country, in our communities, in our region, and in the world. Our dream is to transform you into someone who doesn't just make a living, but someone who makes a difference. You go to your school and tell them, "I am not like y'all. I'm an A student, and I came to become student body president." That's how you think when you are a kingdom citizen in a school. We are here to bring change for the sake of God's name. Can I hear an amen? Amen. Say it loud. Amen. Here's the problem. Not all change is improvement. That's why we got to regulate it. You know, everyone talking about change, change. Yes, but hold it. Without change, there can be no improvement. I know that. But not all change is improvement. You used to weigh 120, remember? Now you weigh 200. And your heart is crying out every day. It's tough to push the blood around this place. That's a change, isn't it? You changed. But it's not an improvement in your health. So let me talk about, let's debate things in our country. Let's debate things in our parliament. Let's debate things in our Senate. Let's debate things in our cabinet. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're debating things that are going to be improvement.
That's right.
Well, everybody else debated it. But we don't want to debate it here. Everybody else doing it. But we don't want to do that here. Not all change is improvement. We got to regulate it. May God help us. I know every week, the last few weeks, and he has been very quiet when I'm teaching. You know why? Because you are becoming a different person. You're no longer shouting hallelujah, praising the Lord, going to heaven. You're about to change the world. And God told me that we must train you to become leaders, to transform society. And you can't do it as a follower. You got to become the one who was the influence in that area. Without fear, without compromise, without sacrificing your convictions for anything. I'd rather be fired than to compromise. God's going to prosper you. He has to prosper you this year. Because he needs to make sure you get plenty of money so they can't manipulate you. Okay, say amen, somebody. God's going to bless you. Come on, give God a praise for that one. He's going to bless you this year. God's going to make us all debt-free so that they can't fool with us when we tell the truth. Say amen, somebody. God's going to make you prosperous in the works of your hands for his sake. Let me close with this. Change is necessary. And this is the heart of the message right here. The danger of change is this. In order to advance or progress or develop, change is necessary. Do you agree?
Yes.
Yes. But here's the problem. Number two, not all change is improvement or advancement of progress. Not all change is development. Why? Because all true change must occur within the boundaries of natural and spiritual laws. I want to repeat this. This is the message. All change, I'm talking about true change, must occur within the boundaries of natural and spiritual principles and laws. You cannot just say, I'm going to change something. There has to be some guiding principles and laws that regulate how and what you should change. In other words, change can develop or destroy. I'll give you an example. Do you know what a tumor is? A tumor is actually a good cell in your body. But what happened was there was a slight change in what they call the DNA coding for the chromosomes in the cell. Just a little change. That change triggered the cell to multiply itself. All cells multiply themselves. But the slight change in the DNA, in the coding of the chromosome of your cell, can actually cause a slight adjustment where the cell multiplies too fast. And that's what a tumor is. A tumor is a good cell out of control. So you have an aneurysm in your brain. You got a big tumor in your breast. You got a tumor in your colon. These are good cells. But they changed illegally. You can pass a little law in the House of Assembly. And most of the people don't even know you passed it. You can do this. Just a little change in a law. Bling. And in 10 years, you get chaos in the country. It's a tumor. You have to obey the natural laws and the spiritual laws to regulate change. Because change can destroy. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, or the prophets. This is found in Matthew chapter 5. Listen, look at me. Look at me. This is very important. My soul weeps. Jesus said to the people, he knew that they thought he came to destroy law. He said, do not think that I have come to destroy the law or the prophets. Why is that so important? Because people say this book is old. He said, yeah, it's old though, but them prophets, what they said still stands. Come on, clap, man. Hallelujah. He put the law and the prophets together. He says, not just what they said, but who said it was true. Amen. Amen. They say, well, men wrote the Bible. Who do you think trying to write our Constitution? Come on, man. You all clap fast. But I just said something important. That's serious. Then I said, well, the Bible is old. Well, then, have you improved? You drug addict. Murderers, adulterers, incest. You improved? You can write something better than they did? I did not come, he says, to destroy the law or the prophets. I stand by what they said. That's what he said. Oh, don't miss next time. My next session, I'm going to quote a scripture. It's going to blow your mind. When David says, do not remove the ancient stones that your fathers laid. That's in the Bible. We think we're so smart. We're smarter than God. God said, don't touch that rock. That's keeping the building together. I did not come to destroy the law, he says, nor the prophets. But I came to reinforce them, he says. You know what's wrong with the church? Lawless. Even though no law in the church. We got pastors doing foolishness and people still listening to them. The people are lawless. They ain't got no boundaries in the church. You got people in the choir. You know they're shacking up.
Go ahead.
Tell them, sit down.
That's right.
You got the bishop with two sweethearts. Brother, and they might be men too. Brother, you disqualified. Give us the robe. Go drive a taxi, man. You are disqualified. Go home. Where are the laws in the church? Lawless people. The world is lawless enough. We don't need you all to be lawless. I didn't come to destroy the law, he says. I came to enforce it. So those who write our laws must base those laws on eternal laws. Otherwise, we are in trouble. Live right, please. And if you're here today and you are not under Jesus Christ's laws, you are dangerous. I don't trust you. Because it's the laws of God that makes you have conscience. And without conscience, you will kill people and not feel it. That's why Christ says, come unto me. And then he says, if you love me, everybody say, if you love me. Say it loud. Louder. Shake the roof. All of you say you love God. He didn't say sing. If you love me, he says, you will keep my commandments.
Amen.
That's how you prove you love God, by keeping his laws. Our nation say, we love God. Sometimes I sing our national anthem and weep at the end of it. On the road you trod, where is it supposed to lead? To casinos? Where's this road supposed to lead? Us is the question. We wrote the song. We wrote the song. God forgive us. We wrote the song. We told God that the nations should mark the manner of how we walk.
Thank you. Thank you.
So when the boat came in town with all them funny people on it, and the saints got up on Bay Street, some of these Bahamian people got upset. And then NBC, ABC, everybody come down and take photograph of us. We became very famous, you know. But they were mocking the manner of our bearing. They were saying, that little nation, they different, child. You can't just go there, do what you feel like, you know. Them people crazy. They love God. Y'all better go with me. We ain't trying to fit in. We're trying to stand out for Jesus. And after having done all, stand. And therefore you stand. And after having done all, he says, you stand. Can you stand with me and shout hallelujah, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is our day. Clap your hands, all you citizens. Shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Come on, give God a praise.
Thank you once again for listening to this message, as we hope that it has been a blessing to you. Our goal is to show you new paths and opportunities so that you can discover your purpose. It is your love, support, and partnership that makes Monroe Global possible. Please visit us online at www.monroeglobal.com for more product, partnership, or to join us at one of our live events around the world.